Ben Strober's dead to me. He bailed.
He did.
He's doing too many other things today. No time for us, apparently. Nick Ashew on the Team 980, so we were going to have Ben Strober here. Not that it was a big trade the Wizards made, but they traded for Trey Mann. Cam Whitmore traded to the Cavs. They're going to waive him. I really thought Cam Whitmore would actually get more of an opportunity here in D.C. with this team. You know, it's obvious, though, for me, seeing where the Wizards have been. I mean, trading for somebody like Trey Mann, like, I get it. Like, he's not a big star. It's not a huge name necessarily. But they were looking for another veteran guard. DeMar DeRozan, who's, you know, been an all-star. They've been talking to him for a while. They made a two-year offer to Russell Westbrook. He decided to retire instead. Of course, people are making jokes about that. Oh, Russell Westbrook got an offer from the Wizards, and he decided to retire. He got offers from other people, too. Shut up. This Wizards team's not the same as it was before. Look, there is more and more of a groundswell now around this Wizards team that I'm seeing just across all forms of media, social media and otherwise, where people are looking at this team going, they could be fun. The Wizards are going to be one of those teams that's, you know, they're a league pass team. Outside of D.C. or outside of, you know, wherever, there are going to be people that are wanting to watch this team play. There's going to be more expectations, too. I mean, look, I've always said this, right? Like, I haven't always said it, but it's been more of a recent thing. If you look, like, there are three teams out of the four major sports in D.C. One team is the Caps that's in their own world because as long as Ovi's around, they're retooling that roster. But again, it's all going to be about Ovi until Ovi retires. So I always put the Capitals to the side here. The Nationals, the Commanders, and the Wizards are all rebuilding. All of them. They're all in different stages. But if you watch how they're approaching it, there are different approaches that are certainly there. Now, for the Nats, it's a rebuild from a rebuild. I mean, we all know we never got to watch this team really defend a World Series. 2020 was a 62-game schedule. They were hurt, and they sold the team off, basically, and traded everybody away the next year. And that was 2021, and they've been rebuilding ever since. But the goal was to obviously get younger and build up through the farm system, similar to the way that they did under Mike Rizzo to build a team that won a World Series. The Commanders have been in their own world because they had to rebuild from literally the top down. I mean, ownership all the way down. So that was in its whole other world right there. And then you got the Wizards that finally leaned into something they should have done a long time ago. Really. I mean, they should have traded Bradley Beal 2 years before they did. You would have gotten a lot more back in return from him. And I get it. It's hard. It's hard to trade a guy that fans love and it's getting you 30 points a game because peak Bradley Beal could score. I mean, he was a bucket. We all know that. There was nobody else on the roster, but he was a bucket. But they just kept paying him and paying him and paying him until there were no more max deals. And then it was like, oh, yeah, sure, after the no-trade clause on top of that, let's make this harder on ourselves. Sure, we'll give you a no-trade clause, Bradley Beal, and then we'll trade you for some second-round picks. Now, again, those picks have been flipped. You got a front office now that's smart, resourceful, and has really found ways to build this roster into what it's become. But the Wizards have built their team, and I use the comparison a lot because it works. It's the Thunder and Spurs, and it's through the draft, and it's young players, and it's player development. And when you have a young roster, it can't be just a young roster. You got to start throwing in some veterans, right? Which they have. I mean, Trey Mann now is going to add that to this team. You bring back Chris Middleton. You've got, in their own way, Anthony Davis and Trey Young, which could be good, could be bad. It really depends on who's happy there, who isn't, whatever, you know, that whole situation. But the Wizards at least now have a strong mix of players that tells you this is a roster that's ready to be a playoff team. I mean, it really is. And that's honestly, right, that's the expectation for them. Because you get the number one overall pick. You have at least right now on the roster, Trae Young, guy's been an all-star. Anthony Davis, guy's been an all-star. Put aside how many games they'll play, who's going to be there, who's not, whatever the case is. Let's just look at the roster alone. And I know on paper is dangerous. But you've got a couple of veterans out there that are mixed with younger guys. Keyshawn George, who's shown us he can be really good. Alex Saar, the development from year one to year two. Huge growth. Now, I know he's hurt, going to recover from surgery this offseason, so that's going to be a different situation there. A.J. Dabonsa, I mean, the ceiling, we know how high the ceiling is for A.J. Dabonsa. But even look at their bench. Their bench, they have a ton of depth. This Wizards team has somebody like Trey Mann, who is a good player, right? He's way down the depth chart, essentially, at this point. You're going to have Bob Carrington as a backup guard. Trey Johnson, who is getting Ray Allen comparisons. I'm not ready to do that yet, but in terms of the ability for him to score and shoot and take a jump from year one to year two, we saw that. Bilal Coulibaly, a great great swing man that's going to defend the perimeter for you. DeAndre Ayton is a backup center, not as a starter. I know he lacks a lot defensively, but guy to come off the bench, rebound, get you some buckets in the post. And then Chris Middleton's on this roster, too. And on top of that, you got Will Riley, who I love. Will Riley is going to end up being looked at as a steal of last year's draft. Picked in, 21st overall, something along those lines, whatever it is. He's that prototypical stretch 6'10 guy that can put the ball on the floor. And you've seen the growth. You've seen the development. They got some other younger, deeper guys on this roster. This is a good team. It doesn't mean that everything's going to just click right at the beginning of the season, because they haven't really played with Trae Young. They haven't played with Anthony Davis at all. And unless they trade him, he's going to be out there at the beginning. Is Alex Sarr healthy? Does he come off the bench? Or is minutes limited? Whatever, right? A.J. Dabonsa, what does his role look like? Because A.J. Dabonsa is the face of the Wizards. But he doesn't have to be the number one guy. He doesn't have to be the guy for them his rookie year. That's why you paid Trae Young $212 million. He needs to be the guy. The face of the organization, though, tends to be the long-term future, and the hope is that A.J. Dabonsa is that guy, right? The homegrown number one overall pick, maybe a league MVP one day, turns this team into a contender. That's the type of talent we're talking about here. And you know what I've said. Trae Young doesn't make teams better other than, the floor is low to mid-level playoff team. Go look at the Hawks. The Hawks were better once they traded him, by far. And they made one Eastern Conference Finals, and the rest of the time they were barely in the play-in. But right now, if you get to the play-in, if you're the Wizards, that's an accomplishment. It is. That's the next step. They won 17 games last year. Now, yeah, we all know what they were doing at the end of the season. And it was mission accomplished. You can wash your hands and say you did it. Now you get to move forward. This Wizards team has a good mix now of veterans and young talent. My only concern, and this is why I didn't really want the Russell Westbrook thing to happen, even though we kind of found out about it afterwards. It's like, you want another veteran guard. Cool. But DeMar DeRozan and Russell Westbrook, these guys are scorers. These guys still want the ball in their hands. I mean, listen, Russell Westbrook in year 18 still averaged, 15 points a game with the Kings? I mean, you know how he plays, right? We saw him last time he was here. It's not the same Russell Westbrook, but he is a put his head down, go kind of guy, right? They honestly need to have the opportunity for a lot of these young guys to be able to develop. You got to have an opportunity for Keyshawn George to get his shots, and A.J. Dabonsa, and Trey Johnson, and Will Riley, Alex Sarr. And they're different types of players, but they all are going to need these opportunities there. But having somebody like a Trey Young or an Anthony Davis, at least at the beginning, if they're healthy and they're out, their defenses at least respect what they can do offensively, right? I mean, Anthony Davis, healthy with the ball in his hands, is still one of the better bigs in the NBA. Trey Young, on a good night, can go get you 30. On a bad night, he goes 3 of 16. So you never know what you're going to get from Trae Young. But defenses still realize he can stretch the floor. He can put it up from 25, 30 feet out, no problem. And a good night for Trae Young means he's going to knock down shots for you. So that does take away some of the attention on some of these other guys like a Trae Young and anybody else. Or sorry, like a Trey Johnson or A.J. Dabonsa or whoever, right? I think the way they've really built this roster is about as good as they could have been given the circumstances that everybody came into. Really. Michael Winger and this staff, everybody, they had to completely gut this. They didn't have a ton of assets either. It's not like they had a bunch of first-round picks like the Thunder have or whoever. And they flipped this thing into a roster that is, again, there's some luck, mainly the lottery. But this is a roster that is, it has, there's thought to it, right? So I always go back and look at the Lakers. When the Lakers had LeBron James, most of the time, the way they built that roster was what LeBron wanted. It was bringing some of his guys in, and for a while early on, it was let's get a bunch of ball handlers around LeBron, and why? The ball needs to be in his hands. Then they try to get more shooters to spread the floor, but it was never a true construction and balance of a roster. The Wizards have that. You've got bigs. You've got some guys that can defend. You've got some rim runners. You've got some shooters. You've got some, young potential talent that could be just a pure scorer right away and an A.J. Dabonsa. They have a lot here with the veteran presence mixed in. Chris Middleton's just a great locker room guy. However many games he plays, however many minutes he plays, he's still there. And if anything, if he becomes what I thought Bobby Wagner could be for the Commanders had they brought him back, maybe he doesn't get a lot of snaps, but he's around, and he's a part of the team, and he's that veteran presence. But I know it takes up a roster spot, and it's a little different. Chris Middleton might miss a ton of time. He could. He's had a lot of injuries over his career. But they've got the depth where they don't need him to play 70 games, right? But they need him there around the team. Because what you have now, if you're the Wizards, is you've got this just big ball of clay, right? You want to mold that thing into exactly what you want it to look like. And if it's the Oklahoma City Thunder, and you want them to be in the same conversation as the Thunder 2, 3, 4 years from now, it starts now. Like, there was a time where talking about the Thunder as NBA champions sounded psychotic, right? They were a basement-dwelling team. But they had a plan, and it went way back, and there were multiple phases of it, because, again, they had the Kevin Durant, James Harden era, too. And at that point, James Harden was a sixth man. He wasn't even a starter for them. But they made the finals. Then the whole thing got broken down, and it was just Russell Westbrook's team, and then they gutted the whole thing and started from scratch, and Sam Presti built it up again. Well, you got people in the Wizards front office that have seen that, that understand it, and that buy into that scenario. But you can't have just young guys on the roster, but you have to be able to give enough of that balance where they're going to grow and actually develop, and you're not going to hold them back. Having that mix and having some veterans in there that teach you how to win. Right, Chris Middleton's won a title with the Bucks. He understands. Anthony Davis, if we want to use him as an example or not, I really don't know where to put him right now, but he did win a title with the Lakers. I know it was in the bubble. Don't make fun of it. That counts. It counts. It was different, but it counts. Because, come on, you were playing in a freaking bubble. It was a pandemic going on. Nobody else has won a championship doing that. The Lakers did. Neither did Jordan. I'm just saying. But, you know, you still have guys that you hope are going to be good influences on this team. Now, Trae Young's the wild card to me. I'm going to be honest with you. Trae Young is the wild card because he doesn't have a great reputation when he left Atlanta as a teammate, as a guy that wanted to, you know, work with some of the younger guys on the roster. That was a younger team they had in Atlanta. And they were a way better team once Trae Young was traded. Now, sometimes guys need fresh starts. They need new opportunities. Sometimes maybe it's a fresh contract like he got. Whatever the case is, I would expect Trae Young at least year one to be just great teammate Trae Young, right? Because he wants to shake the reputation. I mean, come on. The minute he got to the Wizards, he's wearing Wizards jerseys. He's getting kicked out of games when he's not even playing because he's fighting for his teammates. He knows what he's doing. And if that's genuine or not, who cares? Just be a good teammate and be a good leader. And that's the type of stuff that they really need to have on this roster, in this organization here. Because if you have a good veteran presence, it helps build that the culture and the kind of shaping of what you want this organization to be down the road, where people say Washington Wizards and they think of winning organization and championship contender and not team that's in the lottery every single year. I mean, that's really the difference. And look, this is the thing I was always saying too about this team. You're not going to keep every young guy you got on this roster. There's a chance they make trades at the deadline and trade one or two young guys away for maybe somebody else, right? I mean, you may not be able to keep Keyshawn George and Trey Johnson and Bilal Coulibaly and Bob Carrington and Will Riley. I hope they keep Will Riley. But, you know, you may have to move one or two of those guys because you have to start figuring out what this roster is going to look like and who's going to get paid long term. Because smart organizations, people in the front office, you're not just thinking about this year. You're thinking about what you're doing to set yourself up for down the road. That's what's important, too, because it can't just be about right now. It's one of the reasons why Cam Whitmore came in and already got traded. Now, again, there were health issues and other things that got in the way, too, but there was a lot of stuff, and it never worked out. There's a lot of talent there, but they bring in young guys. And look, Denny Avdija got traded not because they didn't think he was going to be good, but it's because the timetable just wasn't right, right? I mean, Denny Avdija was going to be due a big contract. They weren't ready to pay anybody. They wanted to gut the roster and have as much financial flexibility as they possibly could. As much as you possibly could. And yeah, is Denny Avdija gone on to have a great career in Portland? Absolutely. Do you maybe still look at that and go, damn, I wish he was doing it for the Wizards? Sure. But he plays the same position as AJ Abanza, so now we wouldn't want that anymore. But yeah, it was just, It was a timetable thing. The Wizards were on a different timetable than where his career was, and you'd rather trade him for some assets and not have to pay him if you're not looking to pay guys. Now, down the road, great rosters, you have to pay him. The Thunder did that, and the Thunder had to trade away three key pieces to their championship this offseason. The roster just got expensive. And there's a certain point where then you have to have the next guys up. Who's the next one up? So you have to keep drafting well. The Wizards still have to be able to develop talent. Even this team could win 50 games this year, and you better still be thinking about young guys moving forward, because you're not going to be able to pay everybody. It's going to get really expensive. It's just how the NBA works. So you've got to decide whether Trey Johnson, Bilal Coulibaly, Keyshawn George, you hope A.J. Abansa, Bob Carrington, Will Riley, all these young guys are a part of the roster, and then what it's going to cost to actually pay them and what this roster is going to look like. Another reason why paying Anthony Davis $4 for $275 is psychotic. Again, I don't think they're going to do it. Listen, he wants to be a good teammate. He wants to work out with some of these guys. He's working out with, you know, Trae Young and everything. But, like, all these dudes work out all the time in the offseason. It doesn't mean anything. He's on his own timetable. Anthony Davis is on his own. He wants to play for a team that's looking to win a championship now, not a team that's looking to make it to the playoffs. That's where the Wizards are. They're not a title contender yet. They could be in a couple of years, but they're not there yet. But it would be psychotic after you pay Trae Young $212 to then pay Anthony Davis to where that contract's going to be up when he's in his late 30s with all the injuries he's had. Come on. No way. I don't believe for one second the Wizards actually plan on signing him to a long-term deal. I absolutely believe that they're talking to Rich Paul behind the scenes and saying, look, we get it, right? We're not on the same timetables where Anthony Davis is. We can't pay him that. You know that's not going to happen, but we want to make sure that we're in good standing with this whole situation. So we'll make it seem like we're negotiating in good faith. Just get it. If he's out there and he's healthy, maybe we can move him. We get some assets in return. He goes to a contender. You go from there. Because if Anthony Davis is healthy to start the season and there's a team like, and again, I keep throwing this team out there, and it doesn't mean that it's actually the case, but let's just say the Denver Nuggets come calling, because the Nuggets have done nothing this offseason. They were part of that trade. They got Julian Reese in that five-team trade that happened yesterday with the Wizards. Okay, fine. The Nuggets really did nothing this offseason, and Nikola Jokic looked a little bit upset after they lost in the first round last year, and they haven't done much since they won that title. And we've seen this formula time and time again, right? I always talk about how, you know, when a player is negotiating his contract in the NFL and he holds out, it's the same thing. You go through the don't show up, then you hold in, then you get mad and talk publicly maybe, or someone says it, then you request a trade, and it's like this process. Vita Vea just got a one-year, $30 million deal. He requested a trade. It's all a game. But it's a similar situation even here now where, you know, this Wizards team has got to make sure that they've got a level of balance that's there. And if it means Anthony Davis is out there at the beginning of the season and he looks good and the Nuggets are like, oh God, we're starting to see those early signs, which is the same formula that Giannis went through or anybody else that's been with their team that eventually sees the window closing and wants to get traded, Nikola Jokic starts getting upset. Now again, he's signing a long-term deal. You can also sign a long-term deal and then ask for a trade. But what if the Nuggets are like, oh man, Anthony Davis would be a great, you know, we could just get 50 games out of him, a rim protector for us. Like, teams will talk themselves into a certain player and getting the most out of them all the time. All the time. And Anthony Davis at 33, if he looks healthy at the start of this season, man, there are going to be teams that are like, so what do you think of Anthony Davis? It might not be like two first-round picks that are, you know, aren't protected, or they might be heavily protected and there's a second round and... But, like, if Alex Saar gets to the point where he's developing enough where you maybe don't want Anthony Davis and Alex Saar next to him, and maybe it's you slide Alex Saar down to the four, and then DeAndre Ayton's your center for now, and you start thinking about what that's going to look like moving forward, but you also have draft picks, which are the younger guys that you bring in when this roster starts to get all expensive. It's this whole process, and I'm telling you, it's coming together with this team. It doesn't mean that they won't screw some things up. It doesn't mean they're not going to get everything right. But what I am telling you is there is actually a plan with this organization now that we have not seen in a long, long, long time. And the last time they really had a bright future was when John Wall and Bradley Beal were in their early and mid-20s, and they were both homegrown guys, drafted, and it was like they built this team the way it needed to go, and then everybody got hurt. So again, some stuff is out of your control, but this Wizards team has got a blueprint down now that makes a lot of sense. All right, screw Ben Strober. I want you to let him know, Anthony, he's dead to me for bailing on us last minute, and you tell him that. Also, check out his podcast. What?
I got you.
What? All right, good. Yeah, make sure you tell him that. I'm very mad at Ben Strober, and he now has to make it up to me. Nick Ashew on the Team 980.